Hello, welcome, Monday Night Therapy on Coronation, YouTube, Facebook, and X. I think the only ones who need therapy tonight are you in the comments section. I can't call you Chatterfields. That's a purely Thursday night designation. But you're going to be thinking, where the hell's John? Where the hell's any other familiar face? This is not Thursday night. This is Monday night. And so for that, we apologize. But sitting in for John Johnston, who has, we'll just say overwhelmed with work. We'll just put it that way. You know me, you tolerate me on Thursday nights. I'm Greg Mahochko, so you get bonus me. I apologize to all of you for that. And joining me to talk Nebraska baseball and other things for the next half hour, 45 minutes, Aaron Rostovsky. Aaron, what's going on, man?
Howdy, howdy. Glad to be here.
Oh, these poor, poor individuals in the comments are going to be so disappointed. They're already asking about beer, saying John cut his hair. Roger says, Aaron, it is officially a show. Right. Do you think if you – I'm not advocating for this. I'm not. I'm just throwing out random ideas. If you and Aaron Keene did a show together, I'm not saying he would want to. I don't think – I don't even know if your schedule would allow for a weekly regular – we'd have to call it the A Show, right? Like, it'd be Coronation's new A Show. It'd have to be.
Yeah, I'd be down with that.
All right. Hello, Justin. Justin is here. Highlander Gun wants to know what everyone's drinking. I don't even have water tonight. Oh, my gosh. Straight from the bottle.
We're cutting it with some Coke Zero.
Okay. All right. Well,
trying to watch my figure.
I recently acquired for my wife some cherry Coke Zero because the store was all out of exotic Diet Cherry Pepsi. So, Fred says, I drank a lot, but is this Monday or Thursday? John getting his hair armor-alled. yeah, again, apologies. We know it's going to be a show. We apologize for the quality. We don't know what we're getting into. Highlander Gun says, good choice, Aaron. Living in Omaha, David Matney, the official realtor of the Five Heart podcast. Even on Monday nights, we acknowledge the king of real estate. David Matney says, good evening. Good evening to all. Aaron, I don't want to bury the lead. I don't want to what the hell? Oh, it's like, everyone grab your house deeds. It's David Matney. All right. Sometimes I'll never do this because, by God, the people need to be heard. But sometimes the comments can be a little distracting. So I'm going to try to put my blinders on for a few minutes. Aaron, we're going to talk about Husker baseball predominantly tonight. And why not? They just came off a series win against Indiana. I believe it was senior night or weekend or however they designate that for baseball as well. But let's just get into it. Nebraska on the year is 32-18. They're 14-7 in conference. I feel like they should have a better conference record, but I also know how the Big Ten is at baseball. What's going on with the Huskers?
Yeah, they've won almost all their series. They've only had the one misstep up at Rutgers, which coming into the season, Rutgers was picked to be second and probably had the best overall talent of anyone out there. But they're second only to Northwestern, which is barely even a baseball team right now.
I was going to say, what? How did that happen for Northwestern? That feels really out of place.
Man, they've been through some stuff the past couple of years. They hired that guy from Army that just they had issues with COVID, like lost a bunch of guys due to that, and so a bunch of guys transferred out when their coach left. But then they got that Army guy, and no one liked him there. Players were leaving in droves. 3/4 of their coaching staff left, including guys that came from Army with them, which when your own guys are – when new guys are leaving, that happens. But when the guys that you purposefully brought in to come with you to change a program leave, that's messed up. There's still some ongoing litigation with him, potentially having issues that got buried because Fitzgerald's stuff came out like 3 days earlier before that.
Right. So
he's always been kind of on the back page in regards to Northwestern's issues, shall we say.
But, well, let's stay home and focus on this team clad in scarlet and cream. This weekend they did host Indiana. And I mean, as you mentioned, they've won most of, you know, with the exception of Rutgers, they've won every series in Big Ten play, struggled in the middle of the week. What's the biggest factor? I guess I said we're going to talk about Indiana and then we're not there yet. What's the biggest factor to the consistent midweek struggles? I know somebody said, here we go, James Boardman said 4-7 in those midweek games. Is it pitching matchups? Is it if you're I don't want to say a mid-major, because I feel like in baseball,
yeah,
I don't know if there's a lot more parity, but I feel like there's, you know, you get random tremendous arms out of nowhere. But are a lot of these other schools like, hey, we've got, you know, Big Ten Nebraska on Tuesday night, let's throw our ace there because he can, you know, throw again on Saturday or, you know, something like whatever type of scheduling. That probably doesn't work out as well. But are we seeing a lot of tremendous pitching? Are we just not hitting? Is it we're not pitching and not hitting? What are these cumulative factors that give us this kind of putrid midweek record?
For the most part, our pitching's been okay. Hasn't been stellar other than the obvious no-no that Brockett threw a couple weeks ago. They have really been bad at situational hitting, of bringing guys in. We're losing most of these games other than the most recent one. Losing most of these games where they're scoring 5-6 runs tops. We're having failures late in the game pitching, but it's guys that have been strong for us all year, so we throw them out there and for whatever reason they just break down. But honestly, I'd rather have them break down midweek than during one of the Big Ten race games.
I appreciate that perspective because I tend to agree. I think the only time you don't want that is when it's against Creighton, right? I mean, you'd want to get two out of the three, or at least one out of three. I mean, you don't want to get swept by Creighton midweek.
Yeah.
So, but I do understand that the games that matter are the games that are on the weekends.
Yep. Yeah, that's what, like, even in the rankings, they don't really pay attention a whole lot to midweek games because you'll see teams like, I think Clemson was number two and lost to some directional Alabama team that hadn't done anything all year. So midweek games are just, you kind of got to treat them as, yeah, obviously you want to win. They help your RPI. They help your record, but you're mainly using it to develop guys that haven't been playing much on the weekends lately, like pitchers. And because we wouldn't know that Jackson Brockett can do what he can do now if we hadn't been like, all right, it's time to see what you can do.
Right.
Same with a couple other relievers that have been pretty good the past couple weeks. Clevenger just come in, and we really don't have guys that are good with coming in with guys on bases very often.
Mm-hmm.
They all like to start cleaning. They don't have to worry about anything. But he's one of the guys that's been counted on to come in and say, get a big strikeout with a guy on third base when we really need him to. So that's, you kind of got to treat midweek games as you're using them to develop and to set up for the weekend. But you really want to win those Creighton ones. It really pains me.
I don't want to minimize or oversimplify, but would you, like, similarly, like midweek games might be like the JV games.
Almost, yeah. It's kind of in the, like, the middle area, gray area there. So And it's not like we're losing most of those games late, which is when we kind of throw our guys to get new to see how they're doing in the middle, and then bring in kind of our experienced guys late to kind of finish the game off. And they're the ones right. that have actually been struggling on those games. So, I mean, it's hard to not throw your best guys, even though they're the ones that are costing you some of those games in the midweek.
But sure.
again, it's something that I'd rather live with that than the alternative of the weekend.
Well, let's officially finally get into it now. Nebraska hosted Indiana. What's that?
So the happy series finally.
Yeah, right. Yeah, sorry. I didn't start out so happy though. You go back to Friday night. Nebraska got doubled up by the Hoosiers there at Haymarket Park. 10-5 is not a tilt we usually see on the home field. All right. So again, these are broad generalization questions. Do you throw your ace on Friday to get you out running hot on the weekend series, or does that philosophy even differ program to program, coach to coach?
For the most part, you're going to try and put your best foot forward and start your ace on Fridays. We've seen, like in the past couple weeks, Iowa has been, for whatever reason, they were supposed to be strong starting pitchers as like the best in the conference coming into the season, but they've struggled, so they've kind of been moving guys all over. So like we faced their ace on Sunday for whatever reason, and he just mowed us down. But we'd already won the series, so it didn't really matter right. at that point. But yeah, you always want, especially when you've got a guy pitching like Sears, it's almost been an automatic win for us on Friday nights to just throw him out there, let him go 7 innings, and then we've usually thrown Jalen Worthley out there, and he's been able to get us the last 2 innings, and we just roll on to Saturday with a 1-0 series lead. But for the first time in a while, Worthley just kind of collapsed, and then we handed it off to the next guy, Olson, and then Kyle Perry just got shelled, and in 1 inning they scored, 7 runs in that last inning or to take it away from us?
I am definitely going to agree with you on that because I haven't scrolled down far enough. It's a very lengthy recap. I guess sometimes you forget that baseball is 9 innings.
Yeah. So we really outplayed Indiana, not to get too far ahead of ourselves in our recap here, but outplayed them pretty much all but 1 inning where they just shellacked us. But
yeah, so was that the Kyle Perry inning?
Yeah, it was Kyle Perry and
the 7-run 9th inning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, I saw this, I think in Slack, it might have been on Twitter, or I'm sorry, X, but I feel like somebody said, how many senior nights can Kyle Perry celebrate? It's safe to say he's been around a little while?
Yeah, so they switched it up and did senior day on Saturday this year, and well, everyone got their special senior gift except Kyle Perry. I guess you can only get 2 senior gifts, and then you're left. You don't get the one the third time. He's just sitting there with his arms around everyone when they got their gifts out in front of him. But yeah,
James Borden with the fact from the bullpen saying that Kyle Perry has blown 5 saves this year.
Yeah, he started out real strong after having a real terrible last year, but then he's kind of started to revert back to being kind of his up and down self that he was last year. But I mean, this is a guy that we've been through. He was here in our championship year and started the biggest game of the year against Arkansas and held him down for, I forget how long he went, 6 innings or so, 7 innings. So, I mean, it's in there. And so he's obviously the team leader. He's always, I don't know how he has a voice. He's always yelling, always saying something good, positive to someone out on the field every single inning, every single at bat. I don't know how he does it, but that's why they keep bringing him out there, even though he's kind of been up and down. He's kind of the leader of the team and has been since he was about a sophomore.
Sounds a lot like my senior year of baseball, except without the striking out from the pitcher's mound, I should say. But, you know, I was that vocal dugout leader. I didn't play a whole lot. I think we've established my athletic career is not that great. All right, two quick notes about the show tonight. Again, a lot of you are expecting to see John Johnston and almost anybody else. You get Greg and Aaron, which means if Fred says Mindy's not here, you don't have to stick to the formats tonight. Aaron number one. And Roger says, no housekeeping. What will we do at the time? Oh, we will. We'll get to some housekeeping. I think there's a clip somewhere. John doesn't have the clip. Never mind. I guess we can't tell you how to like, subscribe, hit the notifications. You're going to have to figure out without any icons. You're going to have to figure all that out on your own there on YouTube. So anyway, let us proceed. Let's move past the unfortunate aspects of Friday night. And on Saturday, Nebraska did. They were able to turn it around. I can tell you exactly what that score was. It took extra innings. But, boy, when they got to that 10th inning, felt like the bats finally came alive. Nebraska wins that one 5-2.
Yeah, and it's – people have been questioning this team's toughness or heart all year. I mean – you give up 7 runs in the 9th inning when it's basically a tiebreaker series for second in the league, potentially first, and to come back and battle through the entire game the next after giving up a leadoff home run again, which they're Indiana's got the best player, the best position player in the conference, and he led off Friday and Saturday with home runs to start the game. And so to have that 9th inning, have Taylor hit a bomb right away in the game and to still battle back all the way and then have Evans hit what he said was the biggest or the farthest home run in his entire life, straightaway center, is just – that's why I'll stand up for these guys and their toughness
right. Forever.
And if you follow our Twitter, you saw me do that on Sunday.
Wait, right. And that's the thing, too, is – let's not forget, there. In a situation like this, there's no one person to like pin a loss or a win on. I mean, it's not wrestling, it's not track and field, fencing, you know, whatever. It's a team sport, you know. Mm-hmm. And I agree. Just to have the 9th inning that you had Friday night, and then turn around, you know, less than 24 hours later, and find a way to win. That 10th inning was astounding. And to hear Evans talk about, like you mentioned, a 3-run bomb there in the 10th, it carried over into Sunday. And I know we're kind of, I'm not saying rushing through this, but again, I prepared you for this, but like, you're going to have to answer questions that I'm not even asking because I'm not that up to speed, but it carried over into Sunday. And on Sunday, again, going for the series win, the rubber match, however you want to phrase it, getting that all-important W, again, sending the home fans home happy. You win that one 4-2. You know, it's walk us through those Saturday-Sunday games. I mean, maybe not from the mental toughness, which I think is clearly evident it was there, or to any Ted Lasso fans in the – viewing or listening to this, to know the players were goldfish, but just the fact that they came out and played good, solid baseball for, heck, 19 innings.
Yeah, it's the other kind of different thing was with the game being on, I think it was BTN on Saturday, they had to sit there. Usually you have a tough Friday night loss, you're back playing at like noon or 1 the next day. They had to sit there with it for the whole day, just thinking about that, getting ready for the another 6 o'clock game. And man, but our pitching came out. Big Mac Mason McConaughey, I think, went 6 innings. And then we turned to Caleb Clark, who, if you've been paying attention to Nebraska the past couple years, has just been just mentally struggling. And he'll have a couple good outings and then kind of falter and lose confidence. It seems like it's all in his head. And man, I know Evans won that game, but we only won it because of Caleb Clark coming in and just shutting them down for, I think it was three innings he ended up going.
Two and two-thirds. Hit, one strikeout. I'm sorry, two strikeouts, one base on balls, a wild pitch, a hit by pitch, faced nine batters. But, Mason went 7 1/3. And like you said, Caleb coming in and making sure that, given everything, that Indiana wasn't going to get any further along, you know. It just, like you said, kudos to him for at least seemingly at the right time putting it all together.
Yeah, exactly. And then Sunday we went back to, since they'd only pitched Brockett a couple innings on the game that we won't talk about anymore on Wednesday. They were able to bring him back. They were able to bring him back on Sunday and still let him go kind of the normal amount that he's been stretched out for. So he went five innings, kept him down to two runs. And it's not like Indiana is in second place, or were in second place, despite having their ace pitcher done for the year before the season even started. And then their second best pitchers missed a month and a half. And so the only reason that they're even here is because that offense is just ungodly good. They've got three guys that were freshman All-American 2 years ago that are kind of the studs of the upperclassmen. And then Taylor's a sophomore and the best position player in the Big Ten. And so, I mean, they're loaded. And to have back-to-back games where McConaughey and Clark and Brockett, and then especially Drew Christo coming in and having a bounce-back game, huge bounce-back game, is big getting into tournament time where you're going to need pitchers on pitchers on pitchers on pitchers to get through a tournament.
Yeah, we'll talk about that here in a minute. But you mentioned Devin Taylor, and after opening up the first two games of the series with, you know, first at-bat home runs on Sunday, went over five at-bats, yep, but struck out three times, no walks, just was what it was the type of performance or outing that Nebraska needed to have against him. Because I think a lot of it, not to draw parallels to any other Nebraska programs, but Seth, you get a opening, first at-bat dinger, then that sets the tone, I think, for a lot of game. Might have been, yep, what gave Indiana the confidence to think that they could have that ninth inning comeback on Friday night. So setting the tone, I mean, it was a completely different outing on Sunday. You mentioned Jackson Brockett. He went five innings, gave up four hits, two runs on four hits, two errors, two walks, three strikeouts. But then Drew, two hits, no runs, two strikeouts, facing 15. And it was great to, like you said, he gets the decision. So he was the one on the bump. So he improves to 2-3 with the win. You like what you saw out of Jackson because, again, a high-powered offense that you're able to hold to just two runs. And they were both earned runs. I'm looking at this, the box score for yesterday, and they had six hits. Indiana did, but they're spread out. No player had more than one hit. So meanwhile, on Nebraska's side, Kay Sanderson had two hits. Josh Karen had two hits. Cole Evans, two hits. Rhett Stokes with a hit. Tyler Stone with a hit. So we're finding a little momentum offensively as well, which the fact that there's no midweek game this week, those are done. And you and I were talking a little bit in our whatever we had of a pre-production meeting when this was kind of thrown together. Heck, look, I'll say this. I'll apologize and also say, if you weren't getting us tonight, then you weren't getting anything. All right. Because John wasn't feeling it. So, as we say around our house quite a bit, you get what you get and you don't throw a fit. So, yeah. but that also means that, you know, again, no midweek game. I don't know where the hell I'm going with this. But you have Thursday, Friday, Saturday to wrap up the regular season. You're on the road. You're at Michigan State. This is not, correct me if I'm wrong, not the best Michigan State team that's out there.
That is correct. They kind of had a – they were picked to be kind of pretty terrible coming into the year. They had an okay, better than they should have, non-conference schedule or record, and then came into Big Ten and just their pitching just vanished. They've got a Friday night ace, and then beyond that, that's pretty much all they've got. One bullpen guy is kind of halfway good, but Saturday and Sundays is going to be rough for them.
Michigan State, in the conference, they're sitting at 10-11. We mentioned again, Nebraska is 14-7. Their overall record is 22-25, so they don't even have a plus size winning percent. Not plus size, I don't know what the hell I meant. But here's the thing: they are winning more of their home games than they're losing. They're 11-8 at home, but they're 5-5 in their last 10. Nebraska also, unfortunately, 5-5 in their last 10. But Nebraska has a winning record away from home as well. They're 13-8 on the road. And you and I were talking, not to minimize the Michigan State series. It's very important because Nebraska is chasing Illinois for the conference title.
And let me tell you one thing.
I knew when I said plus size I was going to catch hell for it, by the way. Thanks, TSD.
Michigan State's last game, they were up 12-2 after 5.5 innings. They ended up losing that game 15-12. So that's what their pitching's like. They can be up double digit runs and just completely crash. But yeah, the main goal this week is to catch Illinois. They're one game up, so we need Purdue to beat them twice, and then whoever wins that third game doesn't really matter because they're both going to get – one of them's going to get to 16 wins. Mm-hmm. So our goal is to get to 16 wins, and then we're going to, at worst-case scenario, tie in that scenario. If we sweep, we could be outright conference champions. But
Here's dream scenario. Let me run it past you. We're 14-7. We sweep Michigan State, so we're 17-7. That's how math works. And Purdue, who's sitting at 13-8, sweeps Illinois, so they're 16-8. Illinois doesn't win another game in the regular season, and Nebraska's outright champs.
I like it.
Okay, perfect. All right, let's write it up, etch it in stone, be done.
I will point out, 2 years ago we were playing Michigan State we needed, basically, we'd won all the games we needed to get into Omaha to play in the conference tournament. And all we needed was for the Purdue-Maryland game to happen, because Purdue was not
that's right
that Maryland juggernaut team.
And they elected just to not play the game.
Despite not a drop in the sky, that Purdue tarp just stayed out there all day until Maryland had to catch their flight to Omaha and get here for the conference tournament. So counting on Purdue for all this in this scenario makes me a little uneasy.
But we know they'll at least play the game, right? Because they're kind of in the running.
They do have to play the game, yes, to get up there.
Yeah. So it could be a matter of pride, you know? Now, if they split the first two, and we'll go back. The question is, do they hate Nebraska more than they hate Illinois?
I went to Purdue last year to go look at that tarp and shake my fist at it, give it the middle finger.
I remember
and
the that. Whatnot.
They, all their fans were great to all of us, which made me really upset, even more upset than I was. Like, why do you guys got to be so nice? I'm here to just hate you all. And you extend your arms and shake my hand all the time. I'm like, ah, come on. But so yeah, I hope that they go up on Illinois because I think Illinois is a fraud. I don't know how they've done what they've done. They've hit a bunch of home runs, but beyond that,
Sometimes that's all it takes. I heard somebody say in the office today at work that nobody wants to see like a 3-0 Super Bowl. Nobody wants to see a pitcher's duel in baseball. It's all about homers. And I got to say, I don't know if a 3-0 Super Bowl would excite me, but a 1-0 ball game, baseball game, where it's really tremendous pitching, that's kind of nice.
Especially when it's like crunch time down right. The stretch of the season, it's important. And
I'll not get the let's say Phillies. I can't remember. But anyway, when the Cardinals won in 06, Chris Carpenter was on the mound and went like with one of his good buddies in baseball, and they went into the ninth inning, I think, scoreless. I can't remember who it was, though. Tim something, it doesn't matter. This is a Nebraska podcast, damn it, not a Cardinals. But anyway, Angela Matney, wife of Living in Omaha, David Matney, the official realtor of the Five Heart Podcast, says, "Hi, Aaron, glad to see you tonight."
Glad you could make it, Angela. She texted earlier that she wasn't sure she'd make it here, but glad to see her here.
And Greg sits here unappreciated yet again. Now, here's a – I'm going to ask – this is a broad stroke – should not have used that word. broad question. Highlander Gun wants to know, baseball is an excellent sport for potheads. Laid back, slow, easygoing with intermittent moments of out of this world plays. What are your thoughts on that take on baseball?
I think that, yeah, watching it would be a good time. You don't want to play it and have a 100 mile per hour fastball coming right at you and in the batter's box, but yeah, I could see how watching that sport with intermittent butterflies going by you and staring off into space with that and having moments of brilliance with big plays would be. I've not tried it, but I can understand that.
Let's see. Tiger Shark Diver says, "Aaron, I didn't know you were a pharmacist. Went to UNMC myself."
Awesome. Yes, I did. Got done with shift number 8 today, so it's my weekend. I'm excited.
Shift number 8, all in a row.
In a row.
Which is 64 hours straight of work. Felt like it, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. And I'm at the busiest pharmacy in Omaha, so it can get kind of rough.
Fred says, "Wasn't there a World Series with the Twins in it back in the 90s where a game was a 1-0 pitcher's duel?" Probably. And if I remember correctly, Twins and I don't remember. Why did I say if I remember correctly? I remember Joe Carter and the Blue Jays, but I don't remember the Twins. Sorry, Fred. I'm a disappointment to you.
I know Kirby Puckett had some big home run in one of those games.
Well, speaking of big home runs, Nevermind Me says 1-0 LSU in extra innings in the College World Series last year. Tommy Tanks with the walk-off homer. Nevermind Me said earlier, Nebraska baseball fan, with the exception of LSU fan, except they suck this year is what I paraphrasing, never mind me, but I'm pretty sure I got that right. Angela says a pitcher's duel will be fast, which would make fans happy. And by the way, I the next two are not like Greg was not fishing for compliments, but Angela says, "Hi, Greg, glad you could take over for John so I could tune in to see Aaron." See, there again, I am just a pathway. A medium for Aaron to have his presence felt. And Don appreciates me. Don, I appreciate you. Thank you, Don. And everybody else who's here to see me and not Aaron. I'm just kidding. all right, so we talked just a little bit, just in basic, about this upcoming series, Michigan State. 5:05 Central on Thursday. Remember, this is a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. So 5:05 Central on Thursday, 4:00 Central Friday, and Saturday at 11 a.m. And it looks like you'll be able to watch Friday and Saturday games on Big Ten Network and Big Ten Plus on Thursday, the Thursday evening action. So a few opportunities there for you to enjoy Nebraska baseball. I actually probably need to tune in a little bit more than I do. I apologize.
I feel like that's their way of saying they think we're going to do it. And that's what I'm here for.
I think I can. Let's see. All right. Well, let's shift gear. Anything else that I missed baseball-wise?
I think that's pretty much it for the regular season. Then it's just tournament time. And the main thing we want to do this weekend is, A, get first place, win the championship. But right. Worst case scenario, we really don't want to get lower than the third seed, because the first three seeds get to play opening day on Tuesday. Then your pitching, if you win, gets a day off on Wednesday. So you've got your whole team fresh again to go on Thursday again. So goal number one, championship. Goal number two, at least get that third seed.
Stay in the top three?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say it can't happen. Again, you got Illinois at 15-6, Nebraska's 14-7. You have Purdue, Indiana, and Michigan all at 13-8. Iowa with an extra game in there, so they're 14-10. They might have an extra series, or did they already play their?
Yeah, thanks to Wisconsin not having a baseball team. If someone's always playing a non-conference schedule each weekend, so it's Iowa's turn this weekend.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, they have their conference record. They have 24 games played already, whereas Nebraska has 21.
Yep. So they're all the way done with their conference record.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
We are.
Oh, I see. They have a non-conference this weekend.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So they're not. I mean, they can't.
Yeah, they're stuck there. They can't win the championship. And they can't be knocked out of the tournament. So they're in there somewhere in the 4, 5, 6 range.
Realistically, it's. I mean, I guess Indiana. Unless Indiana and Michigan play each other, if Nebraska got swept, and I don't want that to happen. But Purdue, Indiana, Michigan could all sweep their series this weekend and then all jump Nebraska and Illinois, but I don't see that happening.
So it is Indiana does play Michigan, and they're tied.
Oh, there you go.
There, so yeah, it leads to all sorts of potentially strange scenarios since everyone's playing someone good except for we're hopefully playing someone we can take out pretty easily.
Manage.
Yeah.
Well, let's shift gears. Real quick here. We can shift gears. We're going to talk briefly a little Nebraska football, and then we're going to get out of here in just the next few minutes. But it was announced, and I believe this was earlier. Nope, I was going to say it was earlier today, but it was yesterday. Nebraska picked up a 4-star quarterback commit. And this is you're all like, I know who this is, but I didn't prep you for any of this, Aaron, so it's okay. Quarterback TJ Latif, he's 6'2", 200-pound quarterback from Orange, California, chose the Huskers over Colorado and Ole Miss, as well as other places. One of the big reasons that he chose Nebraska, he said, I felt like a priority.
Yeah, he was their guy, even with higher-ranked guys on the board. Earlier in the season, before they all kind of went off, this was the guy that they'd targeted basically from day one in this class. So I think that made it easy for him to say, they want me here, so might as well go there. And obviously he's not scared of the two freshmen sitting that are going to be a year older than him next year. So
right,
you like to have that mentality on there as well.
He's the 8th recruit already for the 2025 class. He's ranked 30th by 247. And said that, or according to On3, quarterback coach Glenn Thomas was the lead recruiter for Latif. So I mentioned Colorado Ole Miss, but also Arizona apparently was in the mix as well. Took the official visit to Nebraska back in April. And again, yeah, his quotes were just very positive about how Nebraska made him feel. He says, Nebraska is somewhere I can live, and my parents are comfortable knowing I'll be out there playing the game I love. But if football doesn't work out professionally, it's still a place where you can be set up for life just with how much Husker Nation pours into that team in the city. It's an incredible culture. So I like the fact that I'll say this. Nebraska has not been relevant for the last decade plus. And I mean, you could even say I haven't won a conference championship since 2001. But the fans keep the interest there. The fans –
Yeah.
It's, you know, I'm not trying to like pat ourselves on the back. Fred, if you want to pat on the back for me, pat. But we're the like, he can't say that if the fans aren't doing our part, you know, like if the fans are just laissez-faire about it and not giving a crap, then there's, then this conversation is not happening. So I guess kudos to the fact that we still give a crap after, you know, with the exception of last year and even times last year, like a decade plus of bad football or two plus decades of, you know, okay football, but not when it really matters. You know, Big Ten championships, Big 12 championships, you know, 9-10 win seasons, but losing by 60 points the other games, you know, that type of thing. So, yeah.
I'm in the chill on a bummer guy.
Fred says, no offense, but I don't want a pat on the back, Greg. Way to make it weird. I thought that's exactly what you wanted, Fred, so I apologize. And Fred also says that kid sounds like he's got a good head on his shoulders. So, yeah. Already kind of looking at the next, you know, what's the old saying? You know, some guys are playing checkers and he's playing chess type thing. Like, he's looking a few moves down the road. So, yeah, no, I appreciate that. Seems like it's a very solid commit. Now we just got to make sure that he stays, I suppose.
Yeah. And usually once you get the quarterback to commit in a class, that's when the other recruits start kind of rolling in. So hopefully this is kind of the springboard to getting more guys to commit here to us.
Living in Omaha, David Matney, the official realtor of the Five Heart Podcast, says, agrees with Fred 100% on, you know, the kid having a good head on his shoulders. And Highlander Gun says, Greg's giving up back pats. I was like, you know, just saying. And Fred says, Greg loses a couple pounds, starts touching us. Whoa. Hold on. I want to call, you know, throw the flag right there. That's inappropriate. Greg was raped by wolves. It's hard to please him. Hey, yesterday was Mother's Day, and you take that back, TSD. Oh, how dare you? How dare you? My mother's a saint. She had to be to put up with me. All right. Tiger Shark Diver says, anywho, in football, we better beat Colorado and USC. I know that's a couple of games that a lot of us have circled, especially Colorado. I think USC, because they're not the same USC that they were last year or in previous years, Caleb Williams with the 2020, I guess, two Heisman. So I think it's a much more beatable team. And we get to play them in sunny Southern California, which, I mean, I'm all for them having to play in the cold in November, but I also think, you know, it's going to be so unusual. We've talked about these Southern California teams coming to the Big Ten weather, but what a nice change of pace for our kids to go and play in Los Angeles, you know, once or maybe even twice, I guess, probably not twice, but you know, that rotation where you get that LA game in October or November, be nice for them. So let's see, catching up on, is your mom Dorothy Mant? She, no.
Dorothy Mant is the saint.
What the hell, Andy? Let's start a roast of Greg. No. No, just because Minnie's not here doesn't mean that you can, you know, find a new target. All right. We're not doing that. Yes, I did see that we barely made it onto the NCAA football cover. I believe it was just a flag in the front of the crowd.
Which I was very excited to see. And then I looked like two spots over to the left and I see a giant Iowa flag there. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make it. That kind of takes away the specialness of our glorious flag.
Well, you know, it's next year we'll have the player on. Might be that's DR. Right. You never know. So anything's possible after one season of college football. Let's see. David Matney left. Okay, that's fine. Then we have a few comments here about the Colorado game because it was announced that Nebraska-Colorado is, in fact, going to be played in the evening with kickoff at 6:30. I was going to say that P word, but I'm like, no, not going to. I'm sure that Colorado.
I made the mistake earlier.
Yeah. I'm sure that Colorado social media and everything's making all of the connections and all the puns, etc. But yes, Colorado game will kick off at 6:30. And I love this, by the way, that's Roger Moore contributing that. He said a moment after that, he said Nebraska will score a 6:33. So I appreciate the optimism. It's always one of my favorite parts. And hopefully you're right, because we don't – I saw something that like by 8 – no, I'm sorry, by 6:45, Shador was going to break his watch or something like that. So, and here's something from Never Mind Me, who I won't say I agree with this comment, but low-key, I also don't disagree with it. It says, hope our fans treat Colorado fans as bad as they treated us. Going to be a wild night in Lincoln. Part of me is like, yeah, let's give a taste of their own medicine. But also, like, part of me is like, high-road it, you know? We're not going to throw bags of urine on their fans. And unlike when Nebraska plays at Colorado and there's plenty of red shirts to choose, like, I don't think you're going to find that many Colorado fans actually making – you're going to be able to find a ticket without paying an exorbitant amount of money for them. I think obviously, yeah, Nebraska is going to show out especially well for that game, so I'm not too terribly concerned about seeing that many Colorado fans in it. So,
yeah, just since the announcement's been made, I've been seeing all sorts of people on different – social media is asking for if anyone's got a ticket that they want to sell to that. So the demand is already way increasing with that night game.
Oh yeah.
Atmosphere.
Well, I reached out to my guy and said, hey, where are we at on obtaining some tickets? And he says, I said, all right, let me know if I have to seek alternative suppliers, I suppose. So, yeah.
I didn't even look at my schedule. Am I off that day so I can go? I better be.
Tiger Shark Diver says Colorado fans are already losing interest. I mean, I don't think that, again, it's all sizzle, no steak. I've said that before on the Five Heart Podcast, the number one podcast on this channel. But yeah, I feel like it's
early will keep their fans entertained for at least a week or two before we just smash their dreams and hopes, and then they'll be gone.
Right. I mean, because again, last year they had all this hype coming in because they had just beaten TCU, and not only that, I mean, TCU had just played in the college football playoffs the year before, and they were expected to do something, and sure, that was a paper tiger. But they had all this hype, and then you get Nebraska, and there's that old rivalry anew with two new head coaches. So if this game were being played at the end of October and we already knew that Colorado was like a 1-5, 1-6 team, I don't think that there'd be a whole lot of it. But yeah, I agree with you, Aaron. It's going to be early enough in the season that some of them are still going to care. They'll probably have the private jets that they won't have to drive across Nebraska. So, in Boulder, it's all sizzle, no soy. Good one, Fred. TSD says they had 25,000 at the spring game. And says little brother, Tiger Shark Diver's little brother graduated from there in 2023. It's all rich kids and international students from out of state now. So MK says their fans will be treated bad, but they won't enjoy themselves either. But I'll say this, I'm kind of excited by the fact that, it's going to be a night game, so we get that night atmosphere, our red burns brighter. And if it's anything like what volleyball, the volleyball, they had the lights and everything. They might have a little drone presentation in the sky. That'd be fun. So should be a good time in early September. I should know the date if I'm going to be giving.
7th?
If I'm going to give any serious consideration to going, I should probably know the day so I know how.
Yeah, September 7th.
It is September 7th. And I haven't asked anybody yet. This is all out of pocket. But I know somebody with a private plane, and I'm kind of sort of going to ask them if they plan on going to the game, if I can acquire tickets and be like, hey, do you think you can fly your private plane? You got to go right over me. You just want to come stop picking. pull around the ride on the street, it'd be fine. Fred says we'll play Thunderstruck. Rule will rip off Dion's remaining toes, throw him to the crowd like in Kingpin. Let's see. Andy Harris says Nebraska leads 49-21-2. How many years would it take for them to catch us if they won every year? I mean, according to that, I'm guessing 28 years.
So is this just a math problem?
I think glad I was able to deduce that one. No, thanks, Andy. I appreciate that. Aaron Keen, also known as Other Aaron, says, let's just not talk too much shit until after we beat Colorado. I agree. I don't want any, yeah. Big believer in that. And again, we got a long ways to go until September 7th. So, all right. Aaron Rostovsky, anything else tonight? Can we let just the good people go home early?
One sort of football thing in that Carter Nelson was, it's his district track was last week and state track is this week. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to get his goal was a 40-point showing in the state track, which means he won all four events that he was in. But he ended up with his discus, where he's ranked like 20th in the country and would have favored by far to win all class.
Oh, wow.
Everything, even the big schools in Nebraska. Scratched on his first two throws and then just tried to kind of get something out there to score and only threw it 120 feet when he's normally throwing it like real close to 190 feet. And so he's not even going to make state track in his best event.
Oh, man. What happened?
Yeah, just
nerves.
I'm not sure. Yeah, you pressure. Get too excited and you scratch and just completely gone. And he's the events. I forget all the events he's in. I know he runs the 200 discus and something else. But he's also pole vault.
Well, let me just say, they play what, 8-man football up there in Ainsworth, yes. Right? So yes. Yeah, it's no surprise. He's only got like 10. There are only other 10 other kids on the track team, so he's got to pull his weight.
Yeah, there was one guy that used to, I forget his name, he used to coach at Nebraska on the track team, and then now he helps out with one of the high school track programs and the one of the bigger programs, said that Carter could go in right now and be in the decathlete for the Big Ten and not like win, but at least hold his own. That's he just insane. Had to work on his mile. He also ended up breaking his pole vault pole, which he weighs like 215, and they're up to like 200 pounds is what they're supposed to carry. Oh. So he's got to find a new one before state to try and win there. And
they're expensive. Sure. Somebody, would it be an impermissible gift or whatever if he was just able to borrow one from the college? I mean, because you got to think some of those college kids would, you know, be a bigger build.
Most of them are like $160, like all the ones that.
Oh, okay.
There's a couple families that I know that are huge in the pole vaulting. They're all little tiny. Some of them are real tall, but just there's no fat, barely any muscle even it looks like on them. But
that's fair.
So those poles are only rated to 200. So he's got to find like an Olympic one that's. Where they go super high to be able to do that. So, yeah, hopefully Nebraska can scrounge one up for them or something because apparently those are expensive as AF.
I believe that. All right, real quick while we're talking track and field, Aaron Keene says my boy was – Greg's my kid was pretty fast crossing the screen there. Yeah, except he still hasn't learned not to run in the house. We're working on it. He's 8. He should know by now. Jason says, can't end the show before my blood alcohol content reaches 0.20. The problem is, and Aaron, you can, I haven't drank anything in this last hour. So that's not going to happen. And real quick here, Justin says, thank you, Aaron and Greg. And living in Omaha, David Matney, the official realtor of the Five Heart Podcast, says thanks, Greg and Aaron. So we thank all of you. We appreciate you stepping up and joining us tonight. We know it's not your regular crew, not your regular show, and you had me, who I only know about Husker baseball what I pick up on Slack and Coronation and a few clips here and there. So I didn't drink one Yingling. I was zero ass in it tonight, Jason. I apologize. So thank you all. We'll have Husker Heat with Andy and Miley tomorrow night. So stick around for that. For Aaron Rostovsky stepping in as well. He's I tell you what, this might be the best 1-2 pinch hit combo you might find in all of Nebraska Cornhusker podcast / YouTube shows ever, because we will definitely step in and talk a little bit. We don't
know.
That
right.
We'll just leave it at that. All right. So I don't know how. Oh, I do know how John and Todd used to end the show. All right. That's Monday Night Therapy. Justin, we still use we, your dutiful Coronation contributors, writers, podcasters, and general managers use Slack still. Get off our shit. All right. This is Monday Night Therapy on Coronation and all of our appropriate channels. I'm Greg Mahochko. That's Aaron Rostovsky. And simply, good night, Aaron.
Good night, Greg.
Aw, it's like the Waltons, except a lot shorter.
John Boy.